The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
So good morning. My name's Devin. I'm the lead pastor here at Summerside. And I want to start with just recapping a little bit of what we covered last week. So last week I handed out these little lists, these little stickers called the Next Door List. Now, if you didn't get one last week and you want one, you can put your hand up and we have a few cards that we'll give out. We handed them out to everybody last week, but I know that some of you maybe weren't here or weren't in the service. Now, the purpose of this Next Door List is that since we've recognized that we can't do this on our own, that we can't go out and in our own power make disciples, the very thing that Jesus has called us to, we need to be praying. And this little sticker is an opportunity for you and for me to choose three people to pray for and to pray that they would come to know Christ. Over this next year, we're going to be utilizing this list in different ways. And even today, as we talk about good works, we're going to try to connect those two things together. So you're going to need one, absolutely. So last week I put up this very simple equation on the screen. My invitation to you is that as we seek to be everyday disciples, is that in one sense that we don't overthink it. So think about this. Passionate prayer plus intentional investment equals radical results. Okay, let me unpack this just briefly. Passionate prayer. That's what the Next Door List is all about. Is committing to actually praying that people would come to faith. Being deliberate, being intentional, being strategic with how we pray. It's investing our time and our energy in bringing these names before God. That we would pray and that we would pray passionately. So passionate prayer plus intentional investment. So what do I mean by intentional investments? Something. Anything. Do something. Be praying passionately for these people and do something to bless them. Something to love them. The reality is that each of us are different. Some of us have incredible abilities and skills in some areas and lack in others. Right? That's just human nature. We all have different abilities, backgrounds, and experiences. And so I can't simply mandate, here's the four most effective things that you can do to intentionally invest in people that you are praying to see come to faith. So my invitation to you is just to not overthink it. Do something. Do anything. And then watch God use that. Watch God do incredible things through your prayer and your obedience. Now, I have to clarify and point out the reality that it's not as simple as if you do these things, then God will respond this way. God is not a genie that you can manipulate or some kind of gumball machine that if you put the right tokens in and twist it, you get out the same thing every time. So you may have somebody on your list that you are praying passionately for, and you may be reaching out to them and investing in them in intentional ways, and they may or may not come to faith. But I can tell you this, that if we as a community are praying passionately, and if we are intentionally investing, we will see God use that in some way. Maybe for the people on your list, maybe for the people on my list. Maybe for people that God will place on my heart a month from now. Maybe people that will move in next door to you 3 months from now. The point, though, is this, is that we are called to be everyday disciples. And I am speaking here specifically to those who are Christians. And as an everyday disciple, we are called to pray. And we are called to obey. And God, in his sovereign, powerful grace, uses that. So if you don't have one of those little stickers, maybe you're a little bit nervous to put your hand up, there are some more available at the Welcome Center. I put out a video this week that you can check out on our Facebook. And fill that out, take some time, and stick that on the inside of the cover of your Bible. And in your community groups, in your discipleship groups, be sharing with one another and be challenging one another. Are you praying for the people in your next door list? And we're going to come back around to this in a few different ways over the coming months and really over the coming year. The point is, though, that God doesn't need all-stars, right? He just needs us to pray and to obey. So we've covered the prayer component, and today I want to talk about the intentional investment. Because these intentional investments that we're making in people include, in some respects, good works, right? It includes loving and serving and caring and working for the benefit of others. And so today I want to explore the relationship between our disciple making, being a disciple maker, and being active in good works. And anytime that we talk about good works, in a Christian context, there's two errors that I see come up time and time again. And I want to address those at the onset so that we can get over that hurdle, so that we can embrace fully what it is that the Bible teaches about good works. But there's two errors that happen whenever we talk about good works. And here's the first one. The first error is the belief that good works will save. This is a reoccurring reality that almost all of humanity struggle with. You see, God calls us as disciples of Christ to be active in good works. We know that signing up to follow Jesus means signing up to be active and loving and caring and serving for people. And sometimes when people are being introduced into Christianity or they're getting to know Jesus, they come away with this incorrect view that if we only do the right things, okay, then God will accept me. The error is believing that good works will save you, because that is not how it works. You see, for many people, the view is that when they die, they will stand before God. And God will pull out a scale and he'll set that on the table. And on one end of the scale, God will place all of your good works, all of the kind and nice and loving things that you have done. And on the other side of the scale will be your failures, your shortcomings, your sin. And, you know, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then there you go. You're welcomed into heaven. You're forgiven. Your sin is just ignored and covered up, and there you go. That is an extremely common view. And that's not what the Bible teaches. If you are here today and you are thinking, you know what? Hey, I'm not perfect, Devin, but I try to live a good life. Yeah, sure, I struggle and I sin, but, you know, I raked my neighbor's lawn. I gave a little bit of money to the church. You know, I let that person go in traffic, waved them on with a little wink and a thumbs up, right? Yelled out, pay it forward. You know, I'm generally a good person. And my good works will outweigh my bad works, and God will look at me and say, hey, you're one of the good ones. So come on into heaven. If that is your view this morning, the Bible teaches that that is simply not how it works. And if you are trusting in your good works to earn salvation, you are playing the wrong game. That is not how God has set it up. Your good works do not save. Because our bad works, our sin, it's never ignored. It's never covered up. It's never swept under the rug. The only hope for salvation that we have is Jesus in our place. Good works don't save. Jesus saves. That's what we celebrate at his death and his resurrection. That's why we sing songs about his death and his resurrection. That there on the cross, Jesus was accomplishing what you and I never could accomplish. And that when we trust in Jesus and we put our faith and our identity and we latch on to him, his perfect, spotless record is given to us. Our sin and our shame is transferred to him, and we stand before God perfect and righteous in his eyes. So the first error is this. Good works will save me. They simply won't. And if you are here today and you are trusting in your good works to somehow impress God or earn something with God, that is an offense to God. Because you are saying, in effect, I don't need Jesus. I've got my own way. So the first error is this, that good works will save. They simply won't. Here's the second error, and I think that in our context, this may be a little bit more pervasive. The second error is this. Good works are enough. You know, I'm not really into sharing my faith, right? You would say, but you know what? I just try to be a really nice person, and I think that that's enough. There's an old saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Now, it's very difficult to actually see if he correctly, or if he did in fact say this. But the saying goes like this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. How many of you have heard that before? Preach the gospel at all times, meaning, I'm guessing, that as we go out, if we live lives of care and love and compassion, people will see Jesus in us and they will come to faith. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary or when necessary, use words. There's a problem with that. That's like me saying to you, give me your phone number, but I don't want any digits. Right? Think about it. It is the good news. The gospel is the good news of all that Jesus has accomplished. It's the declaration that the Son of God, the ruling and reigning King, has been vindicated and resurrected from the dead and is raised triumphant over sin, over death, over hell, and over Satan. The news is that the King has come and that all who bow the knee to the King will be rescued and redeemed and welcomed. That the war between humanity and God has ceased in Christ, and that if you latch onto Him, if you hold onto Him, you can be welcomed. That's the news. That is the good news that we proclaim. So simply letting somebody go in traffic is not enough. Simply being nice is not enough. It's not enough to simply seek to live like Jesus if we can't explain Jesus in some form or in some fashion. Now, God grants each one of us a different ability to be able to articulate, right? And that may be something that you are struggling with or that you are nervous with. But at some point along the journey, we have to allow our good works to be used as an opportunity to share. Now, I say all of that because those two areas I wanted to address at the onset. And for the rest of our time this morning, I want to address and talk about why good works are so important. Right? I'm not saying that, good works aren't important. So it just go out and preach the gospel at people. And if anybody gives you lip, man, knock their teeth out. Right? Take a big swing of them because they're wrong. And no, we are called to live as ambassadors for Christ, and our good works are important. We're going to unpack that. But good works are not the gospel. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus has done. So the good news is that our works, our good works, they are not the foundation of our salvation. They are the fruit of our salvation. Our good works don't earn salvation. They evidence it. And we are called to be a people who live lives characterized by good works. Let me give you four reasons the disciple makers, you and I, if we are followers of Christ, invited into His commission to go and make disciples, to live lives that reflect the nature of the kingdom of God, four reasons that it's so important that you and I are active in good works. Okay? I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Here's the first one. Disciple makers are active in good works because Jesus commands it. You and I, if you are a follower of Christ, are called to be active in our good works, in serving and caring and loving and working for the benefit of those in our life because our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, and our King commands us to do that. Think about the scripture reading that we had this morning. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he is proclaiming his law to his followers, saying to them, this is how you are to live as a follower of me. You and I don't have the luxury of flipping through the Bible and picking and choosing. Of saying, you know what, okay, yeah, I'll do good works to this group of people, but not to this group of people. Or, you know what, I'm not really into the good works because, frankly, they often inconvenience me, so I'd much rather just schedule my evangelism, yell at a bunch of people, and then kind of go from there. No, our Lord, our Master, and our King commands us to live extraordinary lives, to live differently, to do things in our day-to-day that cause people to wonder, why would you do this? We are called to be characterized by good works. And one of the reasons is that Jesus, our Lord, has commanded us to do this. It's a matter of obedience. I mean, in James 4:17, James says this, if anybody then knows to do the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That if we know the good that we're supposed to do and we decide not to do that, that we are actually sinning and disobeying our Lord. This is a matter of obedience. This is a matter of submission to our Lord, to our King. So everyday disciples are called to be characterized by good works because our Lord commands it. That's the first reason. Here's the second one. Disciple makers are active in good works because they love Jesus and they want to please him. Hebrews 13:16 says this. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do you recognize that your good works please God? I mean, Jesus talked about he would never ignore or forget even a cup of cold water given in his name. That if you are a disciple of Christ and you have been rescued from your sin, from eternal hell into eternal life, been given the righteousness of Christ, been given the Spirit of God, been given a new identity in Christ. Our hearts are called to be overwhelmed with love and affection for our Maker. And we want to do what pleases Him. So if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you are commanded to do good works. And because you love Jesus and you want to please Him, well, be active in good works because that's one of the ways that we can do that. You see, good works done to bless and benefit people who are made in the image of God, these things please Him. They make Him proud. Now, our good works are always tainted, right? There's always mixed motivations and perhaps even the purest act that we can muster on our own. But God has grace even for that. So don't get tired out in your good works. Don't be weary in what you do that is honoring to God. Because be confident that Jesus sees it, that it pleases Him, and that it brings honor to His name. See, as we reflect on the gospel and what Jesus has done for us, man, that warms our heart and then allows us the ability to step out and say, I want to please God, so I'm going to do this. It makes me uncomfortable. There's a risk. There's a cost. But I love Jesus and I want to please Him, so I'm going to do this thing that is right. We are called to be active in good works because Jesus commands it. But it's not simply duty and drudgery. It's our delight. Because we've been rescued by Him and we love Him. And we want to do what pleases Him. Here's the third one. So first off, think about this. We are commanded. right? He tells us that we have to be characterized by good works. That should be enough in and of itself. But there's this internal motivation, this love that we have for Christ, that we want to please him and do what honors him. And so we are active in our good works. Here's the third one. Disciple makers are active in good works because that's why you were saved. You see, Jesus does not simply offer you a ticket out of hell, as if the climax of your faith and repentance, of your trusting in Jesus, was going to come someday in the future, but very little for you to do here and now. It's basically like fire insurance, right? You don't need it till you need it. You don't need Jesus until you die. And then when he gets out the scales, he'll, you know, salvation. That's the whole point of it. No, the point of your, of Jesus' work in your life, of rescuing you, it begins today. And so our good works are in part why we were saved. Look at Titus 2:14. Okay, I'll put it up on the screen. This is talking about Jesus, who gave himself for us, that is there on the cross, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. And what's the last part say? Eager to do what is good. That God is bringing glory to his own name by creating a people, his people, who are ransomed and rescued and are set free and purified so that they can be active in good works. That's why he has saved you. To be active in good works. To reflect his character. Jesus does not come and save and then say, see you later. Jesus doesn't offer salvation that will kick in at some point in the future. That he comes and he works this beautiful transformation, and he invites us into a mission. He invites us into a movement of good works, of seeing his kingdom continue on, the ethics and the values of his kingdom, his rule and his reign lived out. You were saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and to be active in good works. In Ephesians 2:10, we read something similar. Paul says this, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to sit around and come to church one Sunday a week, and that's about it." That's a paraphrase. That's Devin's translation. Right? No, what does it say? That we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That as he is gathering and calling a people together, that people are to be characterized by good works. That are eager to do good works. That are created to do good works. God saves us and gives us his Spirit. One of the songs that we sang today really emphasized that. The Spirit of God comes and in some incredible way fuses with our soul. And he lives inside of us to empower us to obey, to give us the ability to do good works. And he comes bearing gifts and producing fruit. That's what we talk about, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that we talk about in Galatians chapter 6. I'll put it up, Galatians chapter 5 on the screen here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fruit of the Spirit is not you and I mustering up in our own ability things that seem to reflect or point to God with us and in us. That the good works that we do are not us trying to manufacture or paint ourselves up so that we look like the Spirit. It's the Spirit living in us who is producing his fruit through us. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. You and I, if you are a disciple of Christ, we're saved for good works. That's exciting and that's terrifying. Here's the fourth one I want to talk about today. Disciple makers are active in good works because people are watching. There are people in your life who don't know Christ, but they've heard or they know that you do. What kind of fruit are you evidencing in your relationship with them? They're watching. Our witness, our work to make disciples can be derailed very quickly. And one of the common criticisms that I hear, or that you hear, I think, and I do think that sometimes it does get overblown, the objections with Christianity is not Jesus, but Christians. And some of that we have to own. What in your life, what do you do in your life, your relationships, your sex life, the way you spend your money, the way you speak to your spouse, the way that you parent, the way that you work, what in your life reflects that you have been transformed by Jesus? Right? I grew up in a context where the churches that we were involved in was basically like the epitome of Christian testimony was turning down alcohol at a party. Let me rephrase that. Was not going to the party. Let me rephrase that. Not knowing people who went to parties. Right? And if you just said no to enough things and didn't dance, didn't play cards, then people would just say, wow, Jesus looks so fun. I just want to follow him. Right? Yeah, absolutely. We are called to live lives of self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Absolutely. But more than that, there's a positive side to the equation that we are called to be characterized by good works. To do things that are rather uncommon. Jesus, our Lord, has commanded us to do it. We love him. We want to please him. We were saved for this purpose, and people are watching. And Jesus nails it on the Sermon on the Mount again, where he says this. This is from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Live in such a way that your life points to your Father in heaven. So that people could accurately say, like father, like son, like father, like daughter. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree on this one. In 1 Peter 2:12, Jesus' good friend Peter says this, live such good lives among the pagans. Now that's a little bit pejorative, but that's the actual word that they're using. So don't think that they're bashing all those who don't know Christ. He says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Live your life in such a way that it points to your Father in heaven. And later on in the same epistle, the same letter, Peter says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. And now we've come full circle. Live in such a way that Jesus is Lord. Submit to him. Be active in good works. Do it because it pleases him. And that's why we were saved. Be active in good works and be ready to give an answer. When people say, why are you doing this? Why do you live like this? Why would you sacrifice like this? Be ready to give an answer that points people to what God has done in Christ and why he's transformed you and how he's working in you. There are people in your life who don't know Christ, but they know that you're a Christian. What kind of life are you living in front of them? We are called to be active in good works. So maybe you're here, okay, and you are a follower of Christ, and you say, okay, I'm all on board. You know, I get that. It makes sense to me, Devin, but where do I even start? Right? You see these things on Facebook where these people have these incredible initiatives to feed the poor, to clothe the homeless, just to do incredible initiatives. And it just seems so far beyond what you're able to do in this stage of your life. Don't overthink it. So today at lunch, at the grocery store, at the gas station, tomorrow at work, tomorrow at school, tomorrow at the doctor's office, when you pull up to your house today, your neighbor's outside, look for opportunities to do good works. Be they big or be they small. Live in such a way that points to your Father in heaven. Look for opportunities to intentionally invest. And if you are really lost, look at your next door list and pray that God would open your eyes to see how you can bless them and care for them this week. And step out in faith and take that initiative. Don't overthink it. Just do it. But maybe you're here and you're saying, Devin, that sounds good, but I'm scared. Or, if you're being honest, you don't really care. It's a motivation issue. It's a heart issue. It's a desire issue. If that's you, and you have no interest in being characterized by good works, I want to invite you to warm your heart, to allow your affections, your love for Christ to be fanned so that you can see what Jesus has done for you and live out of that reality. That your love and your affection, your amazement at the grace of God given to you will be so powerful and transformative in your heart that you will begin to live this out like you can't help it. When you know in your deepest parts that you belong to Jesus for now and for eternity, you will be able to sacrifice and invest your time in serving people. When Jesus is your greatest treasure, then you'll be able to give your money and to invest in helping meet tangible needs and serve people. When Jesus is your rest, then you'll be able to invest your time and energy in people, serving them and doing good works. When Jesus is truly your greatest love, then you'll be able to love those people who are a huge pain in the butt. When Jesus is your greatest joy and comfort, then you'll be able to give up comfort and step out in faith to obey. When Jesus is your life, then you'll be willing to offer your life like our brothers and sisters around the world. It all comes back to the gospel. It all comes back to experiencing, understanding, enjoying, and marveling at what Jesus has done for us. He commands it. He's our Lord, but he's also our treasure and our love. And so we do and we act in obedience to him. Recognizing that we were saved for this purpose. Recognizing that people are watching and we want to reflect well on our dad in heaven. I can guarantee you that today will provide you with an opportunity to do good, to do a good work, and to point people to Jesus. Look for those opportunities. Maybe it's after the service, or maybe it's later at home, but be a people characterized by good works. I leave you with the words of Jesus. Let your light shine before others, that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me pray to that end. Father, I confess in my own life times that I've neglected to be active in good works, times that I've hesitated, or times that I've counted the cost and just said, that's a little bit too inconvenient. And I repent of that. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Would we be a people who are active in good works, who are characterized by good works? Would we be a people who live such lives that people are pointed to Christ? And when they ask us, we are ready to give an answer to them about why we live the way that we do. Give us a sensitivity to the Spirit working in us, to the Spirit going before us. Even today, open our eyes to the ways that we can be active in good works. God, you have commanded us to do this. We love you and we want to please you. You have saved and gathered a people here to be eager to do good works, to reflect your glory. And Father, there are people who are watching who right now don't know you and are headed to hell. Help us to live with a passion, to see these people come to you. Warm our hearts around the fire of the beauty of the gospel, of what you've done for us. And would we be a people who are active in good works and who reflect our Father in heaven? We love you and we praise you. Amen.